It is 6:05 p.m. on October 22nd. This is the regular meeting of Black Point Beach Club Association held by teleconference on October 22nd, 2020 at 6 p.m. The meeting agenda and contact numbers have been posted on the website blackpointbeachclub.com. The meeting is being recorded, and both minutes and recording will be posted on the website within 7 days. Public comments will be heard at the beginning and end of the meeting. If you'd like to make a comment, hit star 6 and wait to be recognized, then give your name and address. So let's take attendance. Sharon Bruce?
Here.
Will Fountain? Cindy, are you unmuted?
Okay. Bill's here.
Okay, good. Steve? Bo Shane?
Here.
Rick DeShenko?
Here.
Janet Benelli?
Here.
Phil Lombardo?
Here.
Brooke Stevens?
Here.
Thank you. Al, are you here yet? Okay, right now Al Capoza is not here. We'll try to keep track of when he gets here. Ruth Ames?
Here.
And Jim Moffitt?
Here.
Thank you, everyone. Okay. We're going to make
Under the dining room.
We're going to make some temporal adjustments to the agenda because we have some special speakers. So we will have Jim Fox with a presentation right after public comments. First, we need to approve the minutes of September 24th, 2020. Al did make one correction. At the top of the minutes, it says it's a special meeting. Well, in the minutes, it says it's a regular meeting. So could we please change special to regular? Does anyone have any other comments, corrections about that meeting? All right. Someone want to move to accept the minutes as corrected?
I'll make a move.
I'll make a motion, Steve.
Steve moved and second.
Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon. And unless I hear otherwise, I will assume everyone voted positively. Are there any negatives? Great. Communications to the board have been posted. And we will now hear public comments. So if you would like to make a comment, please dial star 6. And the computer will recognize you. Oh, hang on for a minute. I have something from Al. Al's here. Thank you. Okay. Al Capoza is here. Okay. Thank you, Colleen.
Star 6 on your phone if you have a comment. Wendy Bourget, you've been unmuted. Please identify yourself for the record.
Hi, Wendy Bourget, 1 Osprey Road. I wasn't able to attend the last meeting, so in looking over the minutes, I have a couple questions that I was hoping perhaps could be answered later today. One actually is a comment that I noticed in the last one. There was a question about fishing hours, and Mike had mentioned that if you look at back in the, I'm sorry, I lost it on my computer here, but had mentioned that Mike had said that it said it was open off season for all hours. And although that is stated in the records in that way, I actually went back in the time that it was voted on by the board, that was not stated. It was later on just changed by the board without it being voted on the board. Before that, it did not have the off-season hours as being 24/7. So I think that really needs to be looked at because that was not a board vote. The second thing was regarding the parking, and I just had a question and a comment about the parking at South Beach. If somebody could just explain what the 5-6 pullback in spots actually means with between proposed pillars. And also, I just wanted to comment that that kayak rack is usually very, very full, and so is the bikes are just all over the road and things. So if there's going to be parking there in the right of way, we might want to allow, in, I don't know if it's going to be grass, maybe you can answer that, grass or paved, but if it's going to be something, I think some extra space for a potential of another kayak rack and maybe more bike rack parking would be great. Thank you very much.
Wendy, don't go. I just wanted to clarify your second point. On the parking proposal, could you clarify what your concern was?
That, to explain what it, if it's going to be grass or asphalt and what 5-6 pullback means. I'm not sure what that means. But also consider the need for extra kayak, potentially a second kayak rack, bike parking, and also during the storms, that is where boats from the beach are put as well, just to keep all that under consideration. Does that make sense, Cheryl?
That makes perfect sense, but you said something before you got to the kayak rack. I thought you had a question about parking in general on the right-of-ways in relationship to the report. Perhaps I misunderstood.
I don't think so, but if so, I'll bring it up after the second comment.
I just wanted to make sure I got it all. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, William Bain, please, you've been unmuted. Please identify yourself for the record.
Yeah, Bill Bain, 2 Osprey Road. Thank you.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl. I shared my this comment with Jim Moss when he was down a couple weeks ago. Just want to say thanks to the association to augment what Wendy said. Restoring that right away and adding additional footage in there is really worked well. The additional signage that was put up this year has kept cars out. Kids were able to put their bikes there. During that last storm, we were able to pull the boats off the boat beach and put them there. The signs on waterside, cars are generally playing by the rules and parking up on the lawn there. It's worked extremely well. Best I've seen it in 25 years. So I just want to comment and say thank you for that. And I had shared that with Jim Moffitt. That's all.
Thank you, Bill. We're still open for public comments. If you're attempting to get through, dial *6. We'll hold it open for about another minute, unless more people come in, and then we'll extend it. All right, we will have another public comment session at the end, so let's close the question and answer session now.
Okay, when I do that, everybody's going to be put back on mute, so I'll have to slowly start unmuting the board. So just
thank you.
Will it
help or hinder if I spontaneously do that? I simultaneously do that. Every machine in the house is going off.
Okay, we're going to...
Apparently it's a very urgent duo.
I don't know how to do this.
It looks like it's okay. Everybody's unmuted.
Hey,
that needs to be unmuted.
Take it to another room, please.
Hey, Jeff.
Okay, thank you very much, Colleen. Okay.
I'm good, but Mom's right now doing a Skyping meeting with the board. And
Ray, just leave the room. Small house. we're also not great at technology when there's seven things going on. Okay, so if it's all right with everyone, and board, please speak up if not. We've had a request to amend the agenda temporarily so that we hear from Jim Fox and the Zoning Commission now, so that he doesn't have to sit through this, and most likely we will also do the same thing with Anita Schechter, who is also one of the special orders, and then we will get back to reports. So, Jim Fox, if you would like to introduce yourself and proceed. Or do I
have... All right. Am I unmuted?
You are.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to address the board. This is Jim Fox, 15 Blue Heron Road, Chairman of the Zoning Commission. I think all of you have received a copy of some information from a company called Malone and McBroom. And basically what you have in front of you is an opportunity to put what formerly is referred to as a plan of conservation development. This is a standard operating procedure of every municipality in the state of Connecticut. They're required by the Connecticut General Statutes to prepare a plan of conservation and development every 10 years. Obviously, as a quasi-municipality, we're not required to, and since we're part of the town of East Lyme, we generally fall under their jurisdiction. But unfortunately, when you go to the town plan of conservation development, there's barely a mention of the beaches, never mind Black Point Beach. And basically, what the plan of conservation development is essentially is a playbook of what each municipality has planned. And really, you know, for a municipality, this is a very, very comprehensive document. When I served on the planning commission in Marlborough for 15 years, I went through this process twice. It basically allows the town to touch on every aspect of their infrastructure and put a formal plan together that includes gathering information from the community as well as every aspect of recreation, police services, fire services, schools, parks and recreation, you name it. It's a very comprehensive document. And it kind of, you know, it's one of those things when I think about Black Point Beach Club, we're a community in flux. We're a community that is going through tremendous change when you think about the number of people that are building or making Black Point Beach their year-round home. The development, it's very easy to see. We've got continuous renovations of homes, et cetera, because people want to be here year-round. And so, it's one of those things that I think about on a zoning commission, but it's also one of those things that I think as an association, we need to think deeper about the needs of our community, the needs of our people. And we have obviously what we have here is wonderful, but do we need to adopt a formal plan? Now, so this isn't necessarily a plan of conservation development, but think of it as a more formal plan that the community would be heavily involved in. It uses surveys to try to get people to an elicit response from people about the needs, et cetera. And it provides us as a community, as well as the Board of Governors, an opportunity to formalize the plans as we think about what the community needs moving forward. I think about what we went through with the whole peer project and potential what that could mean in the future. I know you've got a special group of people that are working on that. That would, in my estimation, that would dovetail very nicely into a plan of development. I think about what you would like to, you know, when you think about some of the challenges and some of the regulations that we're looking at from a zoning commission standpoint, having a formal document endorsed by the Board of Governors and as a formal plan, it would provide a roadmap for us to continue to review and update our zoning regulations. You know, because certainly I think all of us would like to think that we're doing the right thing by the community standpoint, but let's face facts, all of us are replaceable. None of us are going to be here forever. And having a formal plan would provide, again, that playbook or that roadmap for the future. I think it also provides an opportunity for us to stabilize and to formalize what we're important things that we think we need to undertake as a community. And therefore, as people join and become part of Black Point Beach Club, it's something that they can turn to understand what are the needs or what are the anticipated things that the association's looking to do moving forward. Again, I'd like to think that the Zoning Commission is doing everything right, but at the same time, we're kind of winging it, too, based on the needs, and we're trying to look forward and anticipate. But if we had a formal document, it would provide a better structure and, again, something more formalized that provides guidance to the Zoning Commission. I'm gonna stop right there for a second just to see if there's any particular questions or anything that comes to mind before I kind of talk about this formal proposal from Malone and McBroom.
Jim, at some point, whether it be before or after reading the proposal, I took a look at it and, you know, weighing the size and the potential for change of Black Point, the services that we get from the town, the temporal aspects of our growth. You know, in 5 years we may be totally different in population in terms of size. So one of the things I was wondering about, and it's a wonder, it's not a challenge, is this the best time to get started on this? Are there enough people in our community that could start gathering this information before we engage in a contract, which is relatively costly in a time where we've been in people's pocketbooks for peers in COVID? So I guess it's just, what do these people have? Obviously, they have a lot to offer, and they have expertise, and we will be paying for them for their time, which most of the volunteers at West Point are very pressed for. But I just wanted to throw that into the hopper in terms of what can they do that we can't do. Is this the best time, or should we wait till we grow a little more? I don't know. Just some thoughts to throw out.
No, I think you're spot on. So first of all, I don't have other than Malone and McBroom being the company that helped the town of Marlborough and is typically the company that has helped actually Jim Ventress in the town of East Haddam as well. They are probably one of the leaders throughout the state in helping municipalities develop these types of formalized plans. I would say that the proposal that you have in front of you is probably more than we need. So there's an opportunity for us to assume, you know, continue to assess as well as fine-tune the proposal, number one. In terms of whether it's the right time to start or not, I mean, you know, that's a challenging question to answer. But I think what happens is the longer you wait on trying to figure out what's the right time, you've probably waited too long.
Yeah, I guess I meant starting, meaning starting with a big investment as opposed to starting with the skills in the community that already exist and working up to now what do we need to pay someone to help us with. But again, don't answer that. That was just...
Agreed. I think it's probably could be part of a future conversation, and I'm also willing to bet that these folks are quite familiar with the process that some people go through in order to make this decision. So I think if the Board of Governors was curious to learn more moving forward at some point, I'm sure an opportunity to invite them to participate in a Board of Governors meeting, just again, to gather more information, I'm sure they'd be willing to be part of that.
Thank you.
So as we've kind of, based on Cheryl's questions, have already kind of started to get into the proposal. Obviously, as you flip through the proposal itself, there's a number of different important parts of it. Number one, you've obviously got the project initiation and the baseline, and the community engagement is the key part. Now, certainly, creating a survey is that's why they call it Survey Monkey. Any monkey can do it. But it's really about asking the right questions. And what are those right questions? I certainly don't have a knowledge of those, what's the right thing to ask, and then being able to gather it and then being able to put it together and then to help through the process. I guess that's the other part, is that this then becomes an ongoing dialogue between ourselves, the community, the Board of Governors, as well as whichever company is used to help to go through that process. There's a number of different meetings and plans, et cetera, that go on with it. And typically this kind of process takes around 6 months. And so certainly, what we affectionately refer to as the off season would probably be the best time for us to go through that, whether that's this year or whether that's next year. I think, you know, the off season provides, a time of when we probably have a little bit more time in our days to actually go through this process and have good dialogue, et cetera. So, again, this was something that came up with zoning. It's actually conversations that I've had with Colleen as well. I think this type of having a formalized plan would serve us well to be able to identify all the things that are important and critical. It's a great exercise to go through as well to be anticipate your future needs as a community, especially as we continue to be, as more and more people are here year-round. Do we need to start thinking about a bigger clubhouse? Do we need to start thinking about more parking? Do we need to think about a new basketball court? You know, all of these things provide an opportunity for us to formalize the plan around the needs, et cetera, of the community, and actually put it into a formalized document. It doesn't necessarily mean that document gets executed 100% in terms of these are the things that we're anticipating on doing, but it does provide, again, a plan so that when the folks of the community are looking to get an update on what things that they should anticipate or understand, what's the future hold, that document provides the roadmap for that.
So is this the time that you would like to entertain questions, Jim, or are you taking a pause to catch your breath?
No, I'm sorry. I'm in sales. I can speak forever, Cheryl.
Well, great introduction. Do you want to see if anybody on the board has any questions?
Love to.
Cheryl, this is Sharon.
Yes.
Okay. Jim, thanks for the explanation, because I looked at the proposal and I don't think I understood it to be quite as comprehensive as what you're talking about. So to me, and using the terms that I know, it sounds as if you're talking about like a strategic plan for the beach.
Correct.
Okay. And I think, you know, at first when I looked at the fee, it did seem, you know, kind of high, but, you know, I've hired strategic planning consultants and you know, that's certainly kind of in the realm. And I think when you divide it over how many people we have here, you're talking about maybe $35 a house. To me, I think there's value in that and looking, so we can have a plan and make conscientious decisions on what we want to do and what would best serve the entire community.
Yes, agreed. Yes. Yep.
You know what? Since we can't see each other, and sometimes I can see that someone may be on the verge of asking a question but may not during a teleconference, how about if I just run down through the group and ask everyone if they have a question? Will, do you have anything that you'd like to ask Jim?
No.
Steve?
No, being the liaison, I've heard this information, and I think it's a good guide for Black Point over the next 10 years. I know we have our own task forces looking into things, but it would never hurt to have professional help. And I think the biggest thing for me is the input from the community. They'll have a voice in where Black Point is headed, and I don't think we can underestimate that. I think that's a very important thing. So I would wholeheartedly support doing a plan of this nature. Hold on.
Rick?
Yes, I look where we stand right now, and I'm trying to figure out, what is our plan 5 years out from now? I don't think there's one out there. And I think this shows that there is a space needed for a plan, whether 5, 10, 15 years out. And realizing that this is going to be a living document that is subject to change as the times change. It's not going to be cast in stone. But sitting through some of the meetings with the financial planning group, I mean, there's assets and future needs and growth plans. All that really is not formalized, and I think this would be a good idea for us to try to put some formality into that plan. I'm very much for it.
Thanks, Rick. Janet?
Okay. Yes, I think having a plan is a fantastic idea. I think the community wants to know what the plan is. I know that as a member here, I would like to know and be able to participate in that plan. And I think the work that we've been doing with the Capital Planning Committee, you know, shows that we do need a plan, and it should dovetail into it. I think it's great. I support it.
Thank you, Janet. Phil?
I think having a plan is a good idea. My thoughts are around timing. We talk about meetings and gathering data in the middle of COVID. Is that practical? So I'm wondering if this is the best time to try to do that. And the other on the timing side is the Zoning Commission is working on a whole bunch of new regulations. Should we be doing a lot of new regulations if we're going to, in 6 months, have a plan that might change some of the regs? So I think I'd like to see some more thought on the timing.
Thanks, Phil. Jim, do you want to respond to any of that?
Well, certainly I could try to respond to Phil's question, because certainly, that's one of the things that I think about is when the commission is looking at regulation change, is it consistent with what the community needs or the community wants? you know, to me, it looks, it sounds, it looks right. And I try to survey people as I often do, to try to get a gauge. But I don't necessarily think that any of the regulations that we're looking at changing right now would be conflicted with a future plan. And certainly once we have that plan, it's, you know, if it conflicts with one of the regulations that's in place, then it provides the guide to why we would change it again. So I'm not so concerned about that, and certainly I appreciate the thoughts and the perspectives from the rest of the folks, especially the ones who thought it would be a great idea to have a plan, because certainly I'm on that boat as well. And realize that while there's a proposal that's in front of us right now and a cost, I think it also provides an opportunity for us, assuming that the board decided to move forward with continuing to explore this, it would make sense for us to actually talk with these folks and potentially fine-tune this and to get a better idea on what the final cost would be as opposed to the current proposed package.
So it sounds like what we need to do today is to decide if we would like to continue exploring this and what that means. So if we were to say, continue exploring this, can you get it to be more specific to Black Point, and can you get a price that will be more related to what the needs of a small community like Black Point would be? Is that what we're asking the board to determine today?
Yes.
Okay. So we're not right now committing to any money, and it doesn't sound like we need a motion. I would think a consensus at this point, because you are going to continue to explore, and we thank you for all that work. And can I assume, by people's lack of response, or I'll be more specific, that we are asking Jim to pursue this in terms of getting more specific information in terms of what it means for Black Point and what the cost would be?
I think if we explore it over the next month and at our next meeting, if they would want to come and give us a presentation and we could ask the companies questions, I think that may be a reasonable approach and move on from there.
Sounds good to me. Is there any response from any of the other board members to inviting them to our next meeting or a special meeting? We can discuss that once we... Is anyone not interested, let's make it briefer this way, in having them come and speak to us? All right.
Cheryl?
Yes.
It's Phil?
Yeah.
Can they give us a copy of a plan they've done so we have a better sense of what this thing looks like?
Jim?
Yeah, I could certainly make the request. I'll try to find something that's, you know, as much like Black Point as we can.
There's nothing like Black Point. But I would be curious to see how that pans out with a community as well as Black Point that's also getting a lot of services from the town that we're not going to change. We certainly have a lot of very specific needs in our development, but I'd be interested to see how they would address those and keep it compact enough to be relevant to our community needs, not those of a big town. So,
correct.
Can I, for the record, say that Jim will ask them for a sample that would be somewhat matching our community, and that we will invite them to speak either at our next board meeting or at a brief special meeting?
No special meetings.
Okay.
Make it specific, next meeting.
That would be January.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, let me just run through everybody in case you have a comment. So now we're talking, ask for a sample and ask them at the January meeting to speak with us. Sharon.
I agree.
Will.
I agree.
Okay, Steve.
Absolutely.
Rick.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Phil.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody, and thank you for the enormous amount of work that you do, Jim. Go ahead. We're happy to have you do all this for us.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, gang.
All right. Since we are in the special order section anyway, and Anita Schechter, who has been detained, is still making herself available to us, and she was expecting us to call her at about 6:30. So unless I hear otherwise, we will continue with special orders. Get in touch with Anita and Sharon, and she may talk to us about our a charter and trusts and voting rights. And if you will bear with me, I'm going to call her right now and then ask her to sign in. Oh, somehow I got the sub base of Groton, Connecticut. That wasn't right. Sharon, you don't happen to have her number. I can go through my email and find it, but would you happen to have it on you?
I don't think I do.
Okay. Bear with me. I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm dialing it once more. All right. If you will hang on for a minute, I'm going to go into my Gmail and get her. Here we go.
Did you find it, Carol? Because I did just find it.
Oh, you did just find it? Yeah, I'm just opening her email. So if you would give it to me, I'll call her.
I'm sorry, you want me to give it to you?
Or call her yourself. You have your phone. Would you call her, please?
That might be a little difficult. I got to figure out how to patch her in. Hang on.
I'll continue working on it, Sharon. Whoever gets there first can beat the clock. Okay, I got it, Sharon. No, that's the number she gave me.
All right, Cheryl, are you there?
Yeah, hang on just for a second.
Okay, Anita is on the phone now.
Wonderful, because I'm using the number that I have on my email, and it's still the sub base, so thank you so much.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry. I might have
you
what?
I was
typing.
Number? Oh, hi, Anita.
Hi, Cheryl. I was typing so fast, you probably had the wrong number, but I don't know.
All right, don't worry about it. Thanks, Sharon.
So, what would you like us to talk about generally on the phone call about trusts? I mean, I can give you sort of a big background, and I can tell you what other beach associations have done most recently in 2018 and 2019. And I think that could be a good start. Should I do that?
I think that you are the best person to decide what we need to know to make any decisions.
So this issue has raised its head, the issue of the way old charters were written for beach associations. The way they were written was that you had to be a person to vote. And as our laws have changed, tax laws have changed, trust laws have changed, et cetera, a lot of people have put their homes in trust and family trusts or whatever. And there's a significant number of people in Black Point that have their homes in trust. In fact, when I was on the board, there were people who were asking about that, this very issue, and that was some time ago. And the problem is that we have a significant number of people who now cannot vote at a meeting, vote for people who are going to serve on the board by virtue of the fact that their property is in some sort of family trust. And what beach associations have done is they've amended their charters to say, if the home is in a family or personal trust, not a corporation, not a corporate trust, they make that clear. But if it's the, Cheryl Colangelo Trust, that then one person from that property who is listed as a beneficiary or trustee can cast a vote at these meetings. So it's one vote for any property held in trust. I think Grove Beach, I don't have my notes in front of me because I've had a sort of a little bit of a crazy day today, but I believe a beach in Westbrook, Grove Beach, and another beach changed their charters for this very reason just recently to be able to accommodate that. And I know there are people who attend these meetings who would like to vote for people, but they can't, or, participate, but they can't by virtue of the fact that their property is held in trust. So in order to change the charter, we have to go through a very, very specific and rigorous statutory procedure. And it's called initiating a charter revision commission. And we have to set up, I think there's a minimum, and Sharon, I haven't looked at the statute recently, I think of 5 to 15 people who would be selected to sort of hammer out an issue and change our charter for this purpose. There have to be public hearings. Meetings have to be noticed. Obviously, during COVID, we would be doing it this way. But you have to establish a charter revision commission. You have to notice meetings. You have to have public hearings once the commission comes up with a recommendation. So, and then after, let's say you decide to move forward, you then have to take that proposal to the state legislature because you're amending a state charter that's a creature of the state legislature. The Black Point Charter was established by the legislature. A lot of beach associations were. So that's sort of the quick and dirty, but I think it's something that we really should look into at this point because more and more people are being put in the position where their lawyers or their accountants or whoever are saying, put your house in trust. So then they can't serve on the board. They can't cast a vote. They can't do anything. And really that's boxing out a group of people who may have been at this beach a long time or even a short time, but been at the beach a long time and no longer can have a say in the governance of what the beach association does.
And
so I'll leave it at that. Sure.
I think that your explaining of the needs of Black Point are things that we're all pretty much agreed on. And what we were looking for in the article that Sharon and you gave us was certainly very informative. But it looks like we need to do some very specific steps Were I to read and start to try to organize this, I know somewhere along the line I would screw up. I have questions like what do we need to go into a home room charter? What are the disadvantages? Is that, you know, there are a lot of questions specifically.
So you're not doing a new charter. You are, the Charter Revision Committee is so named because what you would be doing is revising your existing charter. In fact, when I was on the board, we had a Charter Revision Commission, and we changed some things. Some of you may recall we had a public meeting airing the proposed changes. That, by the way, the changes are voted on by the entire membership, which is interesting because, again, people of trust won't be able to vote on this very issue, but we have had a series of changes. I would say 10 or 12 years ago, we did a charter revision commission. And while you're right, it requires very specific steps, and we can outline those steps and post it for you to post on the website. But the first step is that the board can impanel a charter revision commission, a group that will look at this issue, and the board can dictate what you want them to look at. So you can keep it narrow and say, we only want you to look at how we would get people whose properties are in trust to be able to participate in the governance and the day-to-day operations of the association as if their property weren't held in trust. You can be very specific. Or you can say, change other things in the charter that you think are antiquated. We did things like being able, you know, the fines that were levied, I can't remember off the top of my head, but there were several things that needed adjustments that we did some years ago.
So, Anita, in order to get the ball rolling, the board needs to determine if they want to establish a charter revision commission and the purpose of that and the revision that we are looking for. Is that accurate?
Right. That's correct. You would select as the board, and again, I can give you, and Sharon and I can talk about this, and I apologize that I couldn't be on earlier, but your first steps as a board, probably at your next board meeting or whenever, would be to vote on to whether or not you wanted to establish a charter revision commission, who would serve on that commission, and what the parameters of that commission would be.
So, to get this, we've been talking about this for several months. I'm trying to figure
right.
out what we can do today without making a commitment that we aren't able to make for the community. What we can do today is, if we choose, is to determine that we will establish a charter revision commission. It's what we would vote
right.
on. Yes. And what the revision would entail.
That's correct.
That's the thing we have to do to move.
That would be the yep. first step. Correct.
All right. So let me go around the room and see if anybody has any questions about that first step, because if it's something that we need to do and there's nothing else we need to know to get moving on it, then we should move on it. And so I will again go around the room. I'm going to go backwards this time. Phil, do you have any questions about that?
I have one question. That is, you specifically mentioned one person, one vote, and you mentioned that the person would be a trustee. Does the person have to be a trustee?
No.
Can it be?
It can be. No, okay. No. It can be, I said, a trustee or one beneficiary of the trust. It can be either. You can designate who that person would be, and it can change year to year.
Excuse me now. When you said a trustee or a beneficiary of what?
Of the trust.
Is the person who put the trust together and gave their property into the trust, could they be one of the people that can vote?
So the way that a trust is set up is typically you have one, usually two trustees, but you can have one. But you can have, you have a trustee of the, okay, the Anita Shepherd Trust, and I appoint myself as the trustee of my trust. The beneficiaries of my trust are my husband, as my husband. And then if my husband's not alive, my children. So okay. I, as the trustee, if that, if my house in Black Point, which it's not, were in the Anita Shepherd Trust, either Anita Shepherd could vote for that trust as the trustee, the person who controls the trust, or I could designate my husband, the beneficiary, to vote on behalf of the trust. So any, but you have to be directly related to the property, and the only people directly related to the property are going to be the trustees or the beneficiaries.
And I'm sorry to ask really stupid questions, but the is it all? I don't have a trust. I don't know anything about a trust. Is the trust the person who whose property is going to trust? Are they always the trustee?
It depends on how your accountant or your attorney decides to structure it. You okay, could be so, the trust. A bank. You could, but typically, for, I would say for Black Point, you're looking at, as I look around for the people who I know who have places in trust, you're talking about family trusts because they're either yes. more than one person or, you know, what whatever with a trustee. But the important thing is that the, this piece of property held in trust will be allowed one vote.
And right. And well,
very
I'm going
specific,
is,
if you look at, and I can share with you what the other beach associations have said, it's very specific as to a trustee or any, somebody that the trustee designates to vote for that piece of property.
Okay. And the other, where I'm heading is that if somebody puts their house in trust and it's to the family, but they're still living at the house, I want them to be able to vote, and I just want to make sure that was
well, they can. That's up to the trust who votes. So you've got that very same situation with somebody who used to, who was the beach manager for 100 years and who was that, you know, I mean, that, so you can have a trust with life use, but that's up to the trust. You can't dictate, you as a person cannot, and we as a beach association cannot dictate who cast that vote for that trust.
No,
we cannot.
Okay. No, I have no interest in doing that. Okay, thank you.
Right. Right? So the trust determines who's going to vote for the, on behalf of that family trust. And I'd like to make it clear, too, that there would not be any partnerships if a house is held by a corporation or a partnership. That would still not be allowed to vote because partnerships and corporations are not considered individuals able to vote, so they could not. So there needs to be a distinction there. So does that make sense?
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you for the information. I thought it was very well done. I understand it much better now. We've been just talking about the charter revision as opposed to the, you know, the interest. Are we keeping it that narrow of a scope, or are we looking, will the commission decide if there's other items that are going to be brought?
So the by law, I believe, and Sharon, we'll have to look at that. The board can say what they want us to look at, but the commission by law can look at other things. So if the general public says, the general public, meaning members of the association, say, we want you to look into this section of the charter, they're allowed to do that. Whether or not they come up with a recommendation is another question. And then even if they do come up with recommendations, it's got to go to hearing. And even after the hearing, they present a final version, and that's got to be voted on by the membership.
Okay, thank you.
Rick,
it's not a short process.
Yeah, this. Okay. So thank you, Anita, for your efforts. What I'm reading here, or hearing from you, is probably the earliest anything could happen on this after the public vote and public hearings and everything will probably be January of 2022, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. My recommendation would be, at least from what I'm hearing, is that we vote on a commission today and have them come back with the wording that they want us to vote on as far as what they're going to look. I mean, at least so we can.
I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can do it that way. I think maybe what I would I don't think you can do it that way.
Yeah.
But I would have to look. I would
I
have
think
to look at the
according to the report that you gave us.
Yeah, I think what has to happen is, and if you want to wait till next month, but Sharon, you and I can look at this. I believe that you say to people, are you interested in serving? I would recommend that you don't make it too big a committee because that becomes unwieldy.
Mm-hmm.
But then that you say, we'd like you to look at this section, and this section, or this section of the charter, and whether or not trust should be allowed to cast a vote. Then the commission can come back to you in the course of its proceedings, can say, well, we looked at section 4, and we found a problem there, too. What do you think? And people get to vote up or down on that. It's not like the commission gets to make the decision. The commission just does the work.
Okay, I like that, where you just say, please look at the section on trust. And that,
right.
And that's fine.
Where you would say, we would like the commission to focus on allowing family properties that are held in trusts, that are not corporations and partnerships, to be allowed to cast a vote, in the governance. And the beauty of this is, there are at least 3 beach associations that already have language in their new charters that they put in within the last year or two. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. I think you can use the language that they did because they cover it all. And certainly I'm willing to look at that with Sharon and other people.
Okay, I'm all set. Thank you.
Sorry, I was following up on something. Steve, any questions?
I need to thank you very much for the presentation and our talk with Jim. Hope all goes well.
Five stitches.
The one question I've heard from a few people is if we do expose our charter to the legislature, will we lose some of the provisions that we already have?
No, they can only put so it's not like regular legislation, and I think Sharon understands this. It goes under what's considered a special act, not a regular piece of legislation. So you vote up or down on what the commission has proposed. And I think whoever our state senator and state rep are, if it's Paul Formica and Holly Giesman or whoever's there, their job is to advance what the Beach Association wants. You wouldn't run the risk, I don't think.
The other question I have is, would each individual trust have to register with Black Point saying who the representative is? Because when we were at the annual meeting, we put people on a slate, and they can't communicate with the rest of their members. Will there be a point person for each trust that we would be able to give a ballot to so they could vote?
We need to have
records in Black Point as far as who is the voting member of that trust.
Right. I think what you can do, if and when this passes, I think you can say we have now passed it for all members who have their property in a family trust or in a trust. The Beach Association needs for you to annually give us the name of the person that is voting on behalf of the trust. We can put that into regulations of Black Point. It doesn't have to be in the charter, but you could say if your family's held in trust, so that it's on them to be able to give the information to you so that you know when you're looking at 46 Indianola Road or 48 Indianola Road that you know who the person is that's going to be voting for that piece of property.
Perfect. Thank you, Anita.
You're welcome.
Will?
Yes, no questions. Agree with everything that should be done with the trust.
Thank you. Sharon?
No, I just thank Anita for her expertise in this area.
Especially,
yeah, Sharon, that'll be great. I'll look at the statute again, and we can sort of map out. I think the best thing to do is for us to map out a realistic timeline for the board.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Do we want to, apparently we need a two-thirds vote to appoint a charter commission.
Right.
Is that something we should do tonight? We don't need to appoint them just to decide that we are going to have a charter revision commission. Is that what the two-thirds vote is for?
And is it two-thirds, Sharon? I don't have the law in front of me because, again, I'm standing outside.
Sorry.
I don't know if it says two-thirds of the...
The appointing authority can start the process if two-thirds of its members agree. So right.
Yeah, but now, of the members or of the board?
The authority, the members of the appointing, the authority, the members of the board. Yes.
So the members of the board. So if you say... Right. So you could go forward tonight and say, we're going to do this.
Right.
And then, you know, we're going to decide. And my strong recommendation is that you have one or two members of the board, but not, don't have the commission be all board members. You have members of the public in there.
There are specific standards for who can be on
right.
that. How many Democrats,
right.
how many Republicans, and how many board members. So
right.
It's a little, okay, so I guess step number one is, we need to have a motion to, how do you want to word it, initiate or appoint, we will appoint a charter revision commission to address the issue of, you want to give us the words for that, Anita?
To address the issue of allowing Black association property that is held in trust to be able to vote and participate in the governance of the association.
Okay, we have to change the name because it's not the association property that's going to vote. Allowing the owners of association property?
No.
Allowing a person associated with a trust. Because you have to identify the property, Cheryl. I think you have to say that you want the Charter Revision Commission to review the possibility of having properties held in trust within the association being allowed the opportunity to vote and participate in the governance of the association. So, for example, Brian Comer years ago...
The property is voting, Anita. We need a word about a person.
I know, but I'm saying if you say... That what you want, but it's what you want. It's what you want the charter revision to look at. You want the charter revision to look at the ability of those properties that are held in trust within the association to be able to appoint a person to vote or participate in the governance of the association. I mean, Brian Comer had to resign from the board halfway through his tenure because he put his house in trust.
Right.
So he had to leave the board.
So I'm gonna reword this so Brooke can get it, and I didn't get it all. So the motion is to establish a charter revision commission to review the possibility of allowing properties held in trust at Black Point Beach Club Association to designate a voter or to
designate a member of the trust, so it can be the trustee or a member of the trust, to designate a trustee or a member of the trust to vote and or participate in the governance of the association.
Sorry, quick question. Do you have to add family trust in there so that defined?
I don't think so because what we're really doing is boxing out corporations and partnerships. So usually the trust, I mean, it might be a single person trust. So it might be the Anita Shepker Trust with my husband. So it might not really be a family trust, but it might be my individual trust with my husband as trustee. So I would just say properties held in trust. And we would specifically say, by implication, that partnerships and corporations would not vote.
Brooke, did you get that motion? And then I'll ask someone to make
it. I got it.
Okay, would someone like to make that motion?
Okay, Cheryl, please, I'll make the motion.
Steve made that motion, Brooke. Do you want to read it?
Whatever it is.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you want to reread that motion? Because we're going to vote on it after we get a second.
Okay, let me see. The motion is to establish a charter revision commission to review the possibility of properties held in trust at Black Point Beach Club to designate a trustee or member of the trust to participate or vote in the governance of the association.
Okay,
the
second on that motion?
This is Sharon. I'll second it.
Thank you, Sharon. All right, we need a two-thirds vote. Let me run down. Sharon?
Yes.
Will?
Yes.
Steve?
Yep.
Rick?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
And I vote for it. Okay, so that is unanimous. Anita, thank you for all that explanation and work.
Oh, no, I'm happy to do it. It's a confusing issue, and I think over the years, I would just make the observation that a lot of people have sort of moved their homes in that direction, so we don't want to lose good talent.
Are we going to wait to January to appoint a charter commission, or, okay, we can have 5 to 15 people, no more than one-third can be holding office, and it actually said it's got to be even or one of, you know, it's got to be well-balanced between Republicans and Democrats.
Leave it up to the legislature to put that in.
Yeah.
Really.
It doesn't say independence, but I guess we can throw that in, too. I'm sure we've got plenty. Do we want to a posting that I can post to ask people that are interested to get in touch with us?
I mean, I think that makes sense. I think you'd say we're looking at this. And I believe, although Sharon, I have to look this up, I believe that somebody who has, the question for me is somebody who has their property in trust able to serve on the commission? The answer may be no, but I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that.
Okay, how about if I just post the motion that was passed, take a little blurb out of the document that you gave us and ask for volunteers to serve, and then we will discreetly have to find out what their political preferences are. And then we can also, I don't think we have to decide now how many people we want. Let's see how many people are interested to start with. And one-third of the people can be on the board. So is it okay with everyone? Speak up if the answer is no. If I, once the minutes are posted, quote this motion, describe the charter using the document that Anita gave us and ask people to get in touch with us if they're interested.
Mm-hmm.
Good plan, Cheryl.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like
Anita, what a night for you. Just thank you so much for being able to focus and help.
Yeah, no, I appreciate, you know what? Here's the bottom line. Don't let glass slip through your hands. He was moving a glass mirror. It didn't go well.
Well, I hope
it went awry.
Like crazy. I hope he heals fast.
No, he's fine. He has stitches, and he was, last I checked, which he's now drinking a scotch, so I think he'll be fine.
I'm sure he'll be fine for the time being then. Give him our best. Thank you so much, Anita.
I will. Okay, take care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anita. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Now we are going to go back to our original agenda. Communications to the board have, we did that. Okay, so we have reports posted. So if anyone has any questions, let's start with Al, our treasurer. Does anyone have any questions regarding the treasurer's report? Al, is there anything you would like to say in addition to the reports that we have? Is there anything you feel the need to elaborate on?
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear
Al.
Me?
Yep.
Yes. No, I believe the information that I provided is fairly self-explanatory, and I have no further comments.
All right, thank you. No more questions for Al. We'll accept the reports as a total. How about the, we have the report from Ruth Ames, our tax collector.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Cheryl, it's Phil. I move that the treasurer's report be accepted.
Oh, okay, we're going to do both at once, but that's fine. Anyone want to second it?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
I'll second.
Okay, I'm assuming everybody's agreeing, unless I hear that we are not going to accept the treasurer's report. All right, thanks, Phil. Sometimes we do them all as a bunch just to be faster. So Ruth's report, she will be, as of November 1st, following up on demand notices and then, if necessary, collection for delinquencies from last July 9th. Does anyone have any questions for Ruth? Or Ruth, is there anything you want to elaborate on?
No, I was unsure whether you did get that notice attached to it that I said demand notices were going out. In October, the notice went out that liens are going to be placed on all the delinquencies. But I can't go on a demand.
I got the November 1st one. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Liens went out the beginning of October, and they will be noticed. And at the end of October, then I put the liens on. But in order to go after a demand, it has to be at least 2 years in arrears, or the attorneys won't handle it.
Okay.
So as you can see, there aren't that many, but it is necessary that we go after these people because they have just been dragging their feet. So that's my plan.
You're not a one-year wait.
They have to be 2 years late, and so... Okay. As you can see, the real estate tax that was due on July 1, 2019, as well as the special assessment, both of those are now 2 years delinquent, so I can go after them.
Okay.
And usually when I get the demand, when I send the demand out, they know that they're going to have to pay an attorney fee, so all of a sudden they find the money. So that's all I want.
All right. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Ruth?
Can I just ask a question relative to the last discussion on these trusts? Has a decision been made on how to handle et als? Because you have quite a few et al on your board. I mean, on your as your membership.
Yes. If it's not a trust, any of the et als can vote.
Okay. I was asked that question, and I don't know. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
I mean, that is what someone told me. Whoever I asked was someone who would have known the right answer, but I can't remember who I asked. I think it might have been at Town Hall.
Yeah, when I was collector for Crescent Beach, we had this come up. And as long as they were listed in the et al, they could vote.
Correct.
Which seemed a little unfair because a piece of property now can have six people voting.
Exactly.
That's how it is. Yeah.
What was interesting in the last election, however, that the et als did not vote. We'd have one or two. We never had five.
I see.
They were on the deed, so I guess it's not something we need to worry about right now. But it is an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruth. Okay. Can I have a motion to accept Ruth's minutes?
So moved, Steve.
Okay, Steve, second.
I'll second it.
And I will assume, unless I hear from anyone, that we are all voting to approve the tax collector's minutes. All right. Steve, anything on peers?
I have been in contact with Rich Pinder. Our peer is done. They've sealed it. It's all ready. He is estimating an annual maintenance of that peer to seal the cap as well as the steel siding. He thinks that at the most it would be $5,000 a year, so the board may have to take action on that before next year. I have been also in contact with Charles Brown, the GNCB engineering firm that looked at our remaining peers, and he will have, I know Phil has been very patient, and I've been trying to push Charles to get a report sooner, but he is hoping by the end of this week, middle of next week, he'll have a maintenance plan for us for the peers that should be really helpful as far as our planning our budgetary amounts for the peers in the upcoming years. But that is basically all I've got.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say but.
Nope.
Okay. And is there anything you have to add in terms of zoning?
Well, yes, I have a few things. Actually, two items.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit remiss as your liaison. I didn't realize that Matt Perry's term ended at the end of July. The good news is that he was not involved in any votes from that point forward, but the Zoning Commission is requesting that Matt Perry be reestablished as a full member of the Zoning Commission. The second item is that Barbara Koenig, who is an alternate to zoning, is interested in leaving, and per the website notification of people interested over the last couple of years, the Zoning Commission would like to replace Barbara Koenig with a lady named Betsy Klemmer. She's a new resident within the last 5-10 years at Black Point, and she's very interested in serving as alternate, and that has been approved by the Zoning Commission, and we ask the board's approval of both Matt Perry, who's been an excellent member for zoning, as a full member, and Betsy Klemmer as a alternate member be approved.
Let's take care of that now. Would it be inappropriate to make a motion for both of them as opposed to individually, Steve?
Whichever way you want to do, I think both are fine.
Okay, let's do the more efficient one then. Do you want to go ahead and move that, make that motion, Steve?
Sure. I'd like to make a motion that Matt Perry be approved by the board to serve as a full member of the Zoning Commission. And the Barbara Koenig's retirement from the alternate status be replaced by Betsy Klemmer, who is really a new member but very interested. And on our website under zoning, we do have a notation of anybody that's interested in zoning to contact Jim Fox, and I think this is 2 years in a row that she's been asking to be a member, so she's obviously very interested. She loves the community, and I think she'd be an excellent choice.
Okay, should we end your motion at the recommendation of Betsy Klemmer as an alternate?
Yes.
Okay. Second, please.
Second, Phil.
Bill, thank you. Sharon?
Yes.
Will?
No.
Steve?
Yes.
Yep.
Rick?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Cheryl, it's unanimous. Brooke? Thank you for that, Steve. Any other zoning issues?
Hey, Cheryl, just a point. Would you be willing to send a letter to Jim Fox noting that so that he has it in his record that these individuals have been approved?
Yes. Brooke, would you be willing to write that letter to Jim Fox for me?
Yes, no problem.
Delegation.
Thank you. Sure, I'd be happy
Thank
to do
you,
that.
Bill. Thank you, Brooke.
Okay. Any updates on Sea Breeze and Seacrest?
If you want me to handle it, Cheryl, I will. It's Steve. The PIMSET on the Sea Breeze property have been documented and been found. The owner of the property has been more than amenable to anything that the Zoning Commission has asked. Their sidewalk coming out into the Sea Breeze right-of-way may be a little bit long, and he's been more than willing to cut that concrete walkway with a cement saw to stay on his property. He wants to put a fence up, and he wants to put sod up until right to the roadway. So he's going to maintain that, put it back into a condition that's better than it was before they did the renovations there. So I applaud Jim Ventris for working on that and holding their toes to the fire, but they've been very, very amenable to whatever he has suggested.
Wonderful. Thank you. And any movement on Seacrest?
That is something that's we're working on. I want to have a meeting with Jim Ventris regarding what they've done there and the letters that have been written by Jim. And it's something we may have to bring to Mark, our attorney, Mark Samarka, for further clarification. And we will be having more to follow.
All right. Thank you so much.
Could somebody remind me what the Seacrest issue is?
Unregistered vehicles, many unregistered vehicles. It's a zoning what do you call it when you're not doing the regulation? It's a zoning regulation.
Violation.
Thank you. Okay. That was the word I was looking for.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Which brings us to Phil. I thought I read that you do not have any need for a long-term capital assets report tonight.
We were supposed to have a meeting this past Monday. We delayed it until we get the report that Steve mentioned earlier.
Okay, thank you. Jim, we have your association manager's report. Is there anything you would like the board to ask on? And after that, I will see if the board has any questions for you.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. This is Jim Moffitt. And I did have three action items I was asking the board to approve. They are listed with pictures. There's some custom metal fabrication for $800. And 858-63. And also a power washing of the floats, all the swim rafts and boat docks. I would like approval of that. And the last was the painting of the swim buoys themselves. I'm looking to see if by hand painting them with high gloss buoy paint, strong buoy paint, we'll get like 3 to 5 years out of it. As opposed to, we didn't even get a season out of the stickers that we painted.
Okay, any
questions? So those are the two things.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'm just saying those are the things, and
okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions from the board?
Will has a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Welding has to be done by Niblong.
No.
Agreed. Has Niblong agreed to pay for the welding?
He agreed not to pay. So he's not paying. He didn't pay for it.
Why?
Because we weren't satisfied with it.
So he's not going to pay for it?
That's where he stands right now, yeah. He's not going to pay for it. He's not going to charge us for it.
Oh, he's not going to charge us for the welding. Okay.
Okay.
So,
yep.
Oh, and I just want to say how thankful I am for Will and Mike Johnson and Skip and all the help they give us almost every weekend, working on getting everything into shape and keeping everything in order and putting it together. And I just can't thank them enough. So I want to make sure the board understands that. And also, if we do the power washing, the Coffees, who live adjacent to the top of Billow, Mike Coffee and their family, have allowed us the use of their water for the power washer. So they'll be doing it up there. So that's part of the deal too. So at no charge, they're very nice Black Pointers and agree to it. So I want to thank them.
Thank you, Jim. I'll send them a note. Jim, I have a question about the decals on the swimmers buoys or the no swimming.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we had a bunch of old swim buoys, and
right. We
put decals on them because the original painting had come off.
Yes.
Do you have any idea? I'm just, you know, we're looking at a $1,000 bill over time to do the custom stuff. Do you have any idea why the decals don't stay on our buoys when they stay on other buoys? What's the difference?
Well,
buoys?
I don't know if it's because of the salt air or what, but, you know, they were replacements because when we bought them originally, they didn't say the exact right thing. It wasn't the exact right thing that we needed to say swim area. We need to have those. So, you know, we went through and we bought all those decals, and me and Mike last spring, and I think Will was involved, and
yep.
Skip, I think we're all involved, and it just didn't last. We thought it would, and it didn't last at all. And so this is, I think this is a better approach to it. That
yeah,
I'm talking to experts.
And it's out of total naivete. How do we know that the painting will stay on? Is there any expertise in town in terms
yeah.
of what does one do with buoys where mercury
yeah,
stay on? You know, if we spend all this money, is there any assurance that that's not going to peel off because of whatever is going on with the surface of our buoys?
Yeah, I mean, this will be the same buoy paint that's specifically designed, you know, for this type of stuff. And, you know, that wasn't the case before. So I talking to the experts like Jackson Bibber, who does our who puts the buoys in. It came from his recommendation on what
okay.
we should do. So,
okay. All right. Thank you. So You are...
Oh, Cheryl, Steve.
I'm sorry, what?
Cheryl?
Yeah.
It's Steve Bookstein. I know there's a product, it's actually a primer, and I think they call it Formula 47, that bonds to the plastic incredibly well, and it lays a good base for the paint. Use that on my kayak when I put the algae and the copper paint on, and I can drag it up on the beach and it stays. I can get you the name of the product. Okay. It's Formula 47, I believe.
Okay.
But it actually
in a white, do you think they would have it in a white?
No, it's clear, and then you put your paint on top of that.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yep.
It's a primer,
but
it's absolutely...
I'll get the information from you after.
All right. I'll send it to email.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Sorry, I'm just taking a note. Okay. Okay, so, Jim, you, what is the sum total that you are asking the board to approve for repairs?
$950, $858, and $900.
Okay, so that's $2,400.
Yep, and it's for the
$2,408. Pardon me.
It's it would be categorized under waterfront equipment.
Okay, I don't think we need a motion. I think we just need a consensus. Since it's typical maintenance, is there anyone that disapproves of Jim spending $2,408 or thereabouts on property maintenance?
Will has a statement here. Hold on a sec.
Go ahead, Cindy or Will.
Did everyone read Will's report?
Cindy, I've got request. Will's request under new business. So do you want? I can move it up now. And I have it highlighted if Will would like me to read the highlights and his request.
Okay.
Okay, so request for maintenance funds from Will, including, this is a summary, power washing all waterfront equipment, repairing piling clamps, replacing missing clamps. There are severe wear on some of the float sections. The gangways need new hinge pins. New skid plates or roller assemblies need to be fabricated. And so Will was asking approval for up to $4,000 to cover all parts and repairs. So we can address this, Will, but my question is, what Jim is asking for now is not a part of that? Is that a safe assumption?
It's all in there.
Yeah, it's all part of it.
Oh, okay. So we should just up that request to up to $4,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And it will still be under waterfront maintenance?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone disapprove of doing this by consensus, since it's a budget item anyway that we just need to approve? Can we have in the record the board, by consensus, approves $4,000 for waterfront repairs and improvements? Any feedback from anyone on that?
Sounds good, Cheryl.
Yeah. What? Okay. I thought I heard someone say something. All right. One other thing I need to ask you about, Jim. I think it was confirmed.
Yes.
And maybe Steve would have something to say about it. We never quite resolved if we are responsible for maintaining the or keeping weeds up and out from behind the clay tennis courts. And I think there has been more looked into it since in the last month.
Are we talking about the pathway from the top of Billow to the tennis court?
Nope. We are talking about the space between the clay court fence and the homeowner's fence at the back of the clay court.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to, last month we said we were going to see if we could establish if we were responsible for that property.
And
well,
Cheryl,
the mirror stones are pretty clear.
He's given me the surveys to Maureen's property and ours. What I have to do is to go up and find the steel pins. If indeed Maureen put her vinyl fence exactly where the cedar fence was previously, which should have happened. She can't move that fence without a zoning change. It looks like there's 2.5 to 3 feet of property behind her vinyl fence to the tennis courts, but I'm going to go up there and locate the steel pins. I probably need one other person to come up with me. I may call my good buddy Jim Moffitt to give me a hand with that, but I just want to lay out the line. And we'll just take a look at it and figure out the percentages and do it that way. I think that's the fairest thing to do.
Yeah, if we're responsible for something, we need to certainly follow up on it. So we'll check into that again next month. All right. We've done special orders. We are, as my understanding, and check if I'm wrong, we are doing old business. The right-of-way surveys, we've had access to a land engineer, Steve, I'll give it to you, to report on what has been done, what we can do with surveying our right-of-ways.
Well, thank you very much. I had a very long conversation with Dave Coonrod. He's been the surveyor here. As a matter of fact, the Black Point is pretty much the only area that he works at anymore. He's kind of semi-retired. I've asked him to go back in his records and find where abutters to the right-of-ways have pinned their property, so we know where their property ends and theoretically where the right-of-way starts. He does indicate that a full survey of Bel Air was done, and I believe it was Osprey that was also there, Brightwater that was done. But he's going to put all his information together. It may not require a whole bunch of more surveying because he has property owner's plots and property owner's limits. So if somebody's abutting a right-of-way and he knows where their property ends, he knows where our right-of-way begins. And I would like to ask him to, you know, pin those areas out if they haven't been pinned, so we know exactly where our property is. I will come back to the board with a budget as far as how much that would be. But I would like to get this off the docks. I'd like to get it all done in one fell swoop if we can, just so we know where the properties are. I know 4 years ago we did vote as a board to do two right-of-ways for $1,200 or $1,250 and to do four total for $5,000 and it breaks down to $1,250. So my thought is that if he already has a lot of that information and he can do all 13 right-of-ways for $5,000 or $6,000, I'd rather have them do that and pin it so we know right where our properties are and go from there. But he will get back to me within the next couple of weeks before the next board meeting. I'll have more information at that point.
Great, thank you. So the issue really is just finding out what's been done and arranging for surveys to be done if we don't have markers on abutting properties.
Exactly, and if we do have surveys done, to place pins in those areas where they're not pins.
So it's a very reasonable goal that we will have all these right-of-ways marked out so we know what association property is?
That was my thought.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for all your work.
Thank you.
We have some...
Will's got a statement here.
Yes, Will.
Okay, we also requested an okay to move waterfront equipment to Whitecap Road right away. We would lock the lock to any access.
Could you say that again, please, Cindy?
Okay. Will has requested an okay to move waterfront equipment to the Whitecap right of way.
No.
No.
Parking
the
lot.
Parking lot.
No.
The parking lot.
Yep.
And we would lock access to it.
For the winter. I'm confused.
Waterfront equipment. He wants it moved to the Whitecap parking lot so he can work on it.
I thought we were talking storing stuff there. That's so you can work on it. Anybody have any objections?
It's basically going to be stored there for the winter while he's working on it. It's not something that can be done in a week or two.
Okay. Will there be any available parking left for people?
No.
They're going to lock it up. People don't generally park in the wintertime over there, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do when they have guests and stuff. I will throw that out for discussion. That's our primary large parking place. We are an all-year-round community, but we also need a place to put things so that we can work on them. Is there any way of locking off half of it or so that we are not leaving the community without a parking lot?
We don't want people climbing on it. And then if they get hurt, we're liable.
All right, so we need the board to weigh in on basically making the association's parking lot inaccessible for the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Cheryl, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the top or bottom of the list, so we'll start with you anyway.
Well, I didn't know you were going through the list. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
How much space will what we're working on actually take up?
So we would need about half the parking lot for it to give us plenty of space.
It's got to be spread out as they're working on it.
I know, with it spread out. And we're not stacking them, so they're sitting on the cement. I don't think anyone's going to get hurt.
What are we putting there? Well, can you just do a quick summary?
Well, so after we power wash them, they've never been power washed. They're filthy on the bottom. So they need to be power washed, professionally power washed. After they do that, we're going to flip them back over and transport them down to the Whitecap parking lot and then reassemble them because we took all the couplers off to clean them also. And we need, one was damaged, so we're going to order a new one. So we're going to be putting it back together again. But putting it on a flat parking lot is perfect for it. But I don't think we need the whole parking lot. I think we could save a few spots for people that may need it. Maybe lock one side of it, but that's whatever you want me to do.
I don't understand the lock part. Why do we have to lock it?
Well, Bill, I mean, Will just said that maybe, you know, people are going to be climbing on it. It's a liability, but it's a foot off the ground. If they do, I'll shoo them away. I can put keep off signs on it.
Yeah, I mean, a chain isn't going to keep people from climbing on it anyway. Locking up the parking lot so cars can't get in isn't going to keep people, if you're worried about people climbing on them, they'll approach it. You can't make it people-proof.
Or just close the one side, just put the chain on one side. Keep them out.
In the past, they locked up the parking lot for the winter.
Yeah, but you could ask Tom to open it anytime you wanted it. All right, let's just go down. My concern is that, again, we have one parking lot for the entire association. We have a winter population, and I'm hoping it's a way that we can share. Janet?
I like the idea of sharing better, and if Jim's willing to put some signage up to keep off, I think that would be best.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Janet. I couldn't see you. I couldn't tell you were ending. I'm sorry,
nope,
Janet.
I can see.
Okay, Rick. Oh, Janet, go ahead.
Did you hear me or no?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Okay, so yes, I think if we can do just half the parking lot locked up, I think that would be best.
Okay.
So the community can still use some of the parking.
Thank you.
And if Jim can put up some signs, that would be, you know, keep off or caution, maybe.
Thank you.
We'll do.
Rick?
I think there's plenty of other parking spaces along the beach, and if we approve the parking on the next one, then the white cap would become a mute issue. I think that we should allow the space for Will and his crew and Jim and his crew to work on the items without interference, and it's winter season. I think it's best if we close that whole thing on for maintenance.
Steve?
I agree with Rick. I think that although even if we close off, people can still walk on it and get hurt. Let's get it off the plate. I would put signage up. I would lock it, and I would allow people to park in our new area that we're going to be opening up.
I'm sorry, you would allow people to park where?
Yeah, on the new area that Will has proposed in the next portion of this.
You mean like, are you still talking about white cap, like it would be some for construction and some for parking? I mean, some for maintenance and some for parking? Or are you talking about a different parking area?
Well, just where he's opening up the right-of-ways for parking. I think our equipment really should be protected. And again, the risk of people, even though they can walk in that area and still get hurt, I think if we lock it where doing our due diligence to keep people out of there. If we leave it open, we put signage. We can say that we're acknowledging a risk there, and if people go there, they do it at their own hazard. But I think by leaving it unlocked, we're opening up the door for litigation.
Okay, well, I assume that you want it open since you stated that. Sharon?
No, Will wants it closed.
I'm sorry, what?
Will wants it locked.
I know. Yeah, Cindy, I'm sorry. I was not clear. Yes, I understand that. Sharon?
I don't see any reason for parking there. I mean, I think it should be locked up. It's you know, Black Point property, and I'm just not understanding the need for overflow parking. So I think it should be locked up. It's Black Point property, so I think that's what it should be done, used for.
Okay, the consensus is that the parking lot will not be available to the community for use of maintaining waterfront equipment. All right. Let's see. Okay, Sharon, you wanted to, it's 8 o'clock now, we have a little bit more material to go over, and you were okay with postponing the parking and enforcement follow-up?
Yes, I mean, unless other members of the task force feel strongly about it, I don't think it's really an issue right now. We're really talking about next summer, and even the things that we're talking about with white cap right away, we're really talking about golf cart parking, not like car parking. So I don't have an issue with just if we want to, you know, postpone this to January, given the time and how, what else we have to discuss.
Yes, Sharon, I always feel like by the time we get to this, because it's old, there's always so many issues that we're all so tired that we're not going to have, you know, a comprehensive discussion. So I appreciate your patience with this. I also want to thank you and Will for the diagrams, and I would encourage all the board members to take those diagrams down and check out the right-of-way so you kind of get a visual of where things may or may not be parking, so that we have a discussion, everybody kind of knows more specifically what we're going to do. Is there anybody that strongly objects to postponing the parking and enforcement follow-up? Okay.
Will's got a question.
Sure.
Okay, did we vote to okay up to $4,000 for the repairs of the waterfront equipment?
We had a consensus. We didn't have a motion, but we just needed a consensus. We didn't need a motion because it's money in the budget. So, yes, it has been approved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Under new business, I spoke with Phil, who's our personnel expert. This year has been so demanding of everyone that we thought that, one, in terms of employee annual reviews, all of our employees have come through beautifully, and two, they and we are fried, and I'm going to read something that Phil suggested and I heartily endorse. It's been a long and event-filled season at Black Point. Our staff and the board have put in an extra effort to navigate the impact of COVID. We are coming to our winter break, and we all deserve a respite. I recommend that this year we do an informal performance review process this evening by giving our staff the thanks they all deserve and renewing their contracts. However, we will accommodate any employee who has a need to formally meet with the board and discuss employment issues. So I don't know if everybody's aware, usually in the fall we have a formal evaluation process, and we'd like to amend that process based on what Phil has recommended here. So I would just like to get a consensus or hear if anyone has any objections. And if we agree, any employee who wants to meet with us can certainly do that. So let me go down the list again. Whether you're okay with this or no, Sharon.
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Will?
Fine.
Steve?
Yep.
Rick?
Okay.
Janet?
Yes.
Bill?
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim, Brooke, Al, and Ruth, for all your hard work and putting up with this whole process. All right. If anyone wants any formal review or plans with us, let us know. Okay, we covered the Will's request for maintenance funds. Wendy had mentioned fishing, and John Bourget had also sent us an extensive email. Both mentioned, and I'm sorry, I'm rustling papers because there was, I wanted to get back to Wendy's. Okay. The concern was that our updated in the, in our postings, in our rules, the updated fishing hours are from September 16th to May 14th. September 15th to May 15th. In other words, the winter months. Our document states that fishing hours are unlimited. So there have been a couple of issues. One, Wendy brought up tonight that there is no record of us voting on that. And two, John brought up, and I think you all had his email, but he would like to restore the long time rule of only fishing between 6 and 11 all year round. Yeah, I will quote, here's my crack at suggested regulation rewording. Section 4, other regulations and limitations of liability, new rules for fishing. Fishing from association property is allowed by members and their guests only. And John said from May 16th to September 14th, fishing is allowed between 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. only. And from September 15th to May 15th, fishing is allowed between 6 a.m. and 11 p.m. only. I think we can make that more concise if we choose to reword our regulation, just saying fishing is allowed from 6. I'm sorry. Let me read this slower. From May 16th till September 14th, fishing is allowed between 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. only. In the winter hours, September 15th to May 15th, fishing is allowed between 6 a.m. and 11 p.m. only. So let's, I'll just go around and have people weigh in. Sharon?
I agree with those changes, yes.
Will?
Yes.
Steve?
Sounds good.
Rick?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Okay, because this is a rule, we will need a motion. And for the ease, does someone want
to say so
that the amendment proposed, and I'll give it to Brooke, that the amendment proposed regarding fishing hours be passed?
Yes.
And then I'll give Brooke this written. Thank you. Second?
Second, Steve.
Okay. Technically, we need to go through this really fast. Sharon?
Yes.
Will?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Okay, that amendment passed unanimously. Brooke, I will I'll forward you that email, and you can take that wording right off of the email. Thank you, John and Wendy.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Phil, our signs are wrong. Should we change the signs?
Yep.
No.
Jim, can you have those signs changed, please?
All the signs? Okay.
The signs say something about fishing.
Any signs that have fishing hours on them, have them say May 16th to September 14th, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., September 15th to May 15th, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. I can forward that to you, Jim.
Yeah.
So if there's no signs about fishing, we don't need them added. And if they are, we'll get those changed. Certainly Osprey would be a priority because it's so close to homes. A lot of people are fishing there. Okay, Brooke and Jim, we'll send that to you folks. Jim and those who are going to work with him on the marine equipment and craft emergency plan, when I put this in the agenda, we had not confirmed that, one, it would be a priority at this time, two, whether it had been resolved yet. So, Jim, I'm thinking we're going to postpone this.
Okay. Yep.
All right. And was it Will and Mike Johnson that were working with you on this?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we will postpone that. We have a request that the hard tennis courts be available till November 15th. Jim, what's your take on that?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Can I have a consensus from the board? Does anyone have any concerns about maintaining the hard tennis courts, not maintaining them, leaving them open until November 15th?
I don't know.
I agree.
No problem.
Great. Thank you. Let's see. There was a scheduling board. Will, was that something you had brought up? Getting a scheduling board made for the tennis court?
I haven't drawn. I'll send it out.
He'll send it out. He's got a drawing.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we don't have to deal with that right now. You'll send it out. And the final item is Rick and Sharon had a suggestion for an executive summary request. Does anybody have any questions for either of them?
Cheryl, this is Sharon. I don't know exactly what Rick was thinking about, but when I do my minutes, I take each of the motions that were made and put it at the very beginning of the minutes, just so that you can very quickly see what motions were taken up at the board meeting. It really doesn't take any extra time. It's really just a matter of cutting and pasting those into the beginning of the minutes. That's what I was thinking of in terms of an executive summary.
Yeah, a good. This is Rick, and a good business practice is an executive summary up front, just to review with the motions, those items dismissed, and those items deferred. One paragraph only. That's it.
Any comments from the board?
So
this is worthy practice. The dilemma that I have is, as a quasi-municipality, we have certain procedures and regulations. There are many, many other things that can be done that might be helpful, that we might be taking from business or education. But whatever we do, we cannot reduce the demands of Robert's Rules of Orders and Parliamentary Procedures. So Rick has a specific way of making the minutes. If it doesn't fit into what guides our policies and practice, then the way it could get done would be by a volunteer on the board just to send that out. Because we can add lots and lots of things, but we can't delete what already exists. So it becomes somewhat unmanageable. It seems like one little thing, but I must tell you that there's a lot of one little things that take an inordinate amount of time of all of us. So I will ask Brooke what her take is on that in terms of changing how she does the minutes.
Did you want me to respond now?
If you can, are you comfortable responding now, or do you need to think about it?
I mean, I'm comfortable responding now. Obviously, I'll do it if the board would like it done that way. Personally, I think it's kind of redundant, but like I said, I'm happy to go along with whatever the board wants to do. The only thing I can equate it with is, like on a town level, sometimes if minutes are not available within, you know, X amount of days, recording secretaries will do a filing of just the motions. I don't know if that's really what you're asking for. Just wanted some clarification on that.
Cheryl, this is Sharon. That's essentially it. Like I said, it would just be instead of having to read through all of the minutes to see each of the motions, you just copy and paste the motions at the very beginning, where it just says motions, you know, taken.
Okay.
And it would just be exactly like essentially what you do in bold. It would just be in the very beginning, so that you could very quickly just look at the minutes. Like if you're trying to go back through prior minutes, you could very quickly look and see what was taken up at each minute, at each board meeting regarding each of the minutes. It really doesn't take any more time because it's really just copy and pasting a couple of them up to the very beginning.
Okay.
Okay, that will work for you.
Like I said, if that's how everyone wants me to do it, then I'm happy to accommodate.
Let me just make sure that's what everybody wants you to do.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Cheryl.
There were other things that came up that looked a little more elaborate in the email that was sent out, so I wasn't sure how comprehensive this change was going to be. So for the first part, do people feel strongly that we should ask Brooke to put the motions at the beginning of the minutes? Sharon, I assume you're a yes. Will?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm in favor of it. Because you still have the motions throughout the regular minutes. It just pulls them right to the front, so it's quick and easy look to see what was taken up at the meeting.
Okay. All right. Yep. Will?
Yes. Yeah.
Steve?
My only concern is when I read the minutes, it has a flow to it. So when we go through a process, I don't have any objection to having all the motions that were carried or tabled in the first part, as long as when you read through the minutes, you actually see that a motion was made in or it was either passed or not. In the text, if they want to have a summary on the front part of it, that's fine. But I do like to see the process of at which the motion was, by which the motion was handled, and any concerns that people had, and whether or not it was passed in the actual text.
Okay. I'm going to throw in another thought, because, Sharon, I certainly understand your point about that one slash, and I'm also sensitive, and there's no way you guys can possibly know how much work Brooke does, that I'm wondering if a compromise might be to highlight in bold the motion, so when you flip through, they're really clear. But again, we'll continue getting people's takes on this. Rick?
Again, it's good business practice to do this. I vote yes.
Yeah, we're not a business, though.
It's a business Janet? Meeting.
A
business meeting.
I think it would be helpful. I think I would look at them and then go find details, and I wouldn't have to go through everything. I mean, I'm going to go through everything, but other people might not. You could see what catches your eye. So I'm not opposed to it, but I don't want to create extra work either.
Phil?
I mean, I'm in favor of it.
You are or not? If we decide that we're in favor, then Brooke will be doing it.
Ooh, pressure. If it's not...
Hey, Cheryl, this is Sharon. Can I just jump in again? One of the things, and the reason I think it would make it easier, is especially after listening to Tom Hennick, if you're trying to recall where you made a change in something, like for FOI, it's a really quick way to find out where a change was made, because all you have to do is look at the very first page of the minutes.
Sharon, I agree with you. I'm just ambivalent because I don't need to repeat myself. But, Phil?
I think it's a good idea. I think that two things should be there is the motions that were passed and any items that were deferred. And I think it was a good summary. Just as the example was, where did they do the fishing? Did we make a fishing motion or not? And it would be nice that had every set of minutes had the motions that were on the topic, it would be easier to do.
Okay, Brooke, are you going to be able to manage that?
Yes, I will say that, again, this is something the town used to do. Instead of not so much listing every motion on the minutes, but what recording secretaries used to do for, like, Board of Selectmen minutes, they would have a yearly index of basically motions that were made. So somebody could look back on, you know, they'd have basically have a summary of, like, every decision that was made in, you know, 2020, whatever. Just Sharon's comments made me think of that, you know, that might be something long-term that's more helpful than, you know, relisting the motions. But again, like I said, I'm happy to do whatever you guys want.
Okay. Does anybody prefer an annual review so that it's one page, you can see everything?
Well, again, this is Sharon.
Now you're talking about work.
When I write minutes, I do that at the beginning of each minute, and then I do have a summary. Brooke, please don't shoot me. That outlines, it goes back a number of years of where each, you know, what motions were made at, you know, significant motions at each meeting. So, again, it makes it easier that if you were to get FOI, you can easily see what meeting something happened. It's easier to pull that out.
I think we need to decide on one or another. I think that the amount of work that Brooke does is enormous. And, yes, this will make things more convenient, and anything can be made better. And, Sharon, I think they're both great ideas. I just want to balance how our what our relationship is with the people who work with and for us. And I think if we're going to decide one system or the other, but I am really not comfortable with asking her for two extra tasks, even though certainly one of them seems like it would be a brief thing. It's an addition to an already onerous task. So can we leave it with, we will ask her to put at the top of the minutes the motions that were made, and when people flip through them, they'll have nine sets of minutes that they can find up for over the context of a year.
Motions made and items deferred. Table.
Okay. Motions made and items deferred at the introduction of the minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have any objections to that? Okay.
Could you please repeat what he just said? The motion what is approved?
Motions that were made and items that were deferred.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else under new business that cannot be deferred? Okay, it is time for public comments. I'm going to put us on Q&A. If anyone in the public has a question or comment, please dial star 6. Wait till you're acknowledged. All right, Wendy, I think I can figure out how to do this. Oops, wait a minute, Wendy, I unmuted you and muted you again while I was trying to figure this out. Okay, Wendy.
Hi. Hi, first of all, I want to thank the board.
Hi, you're all set. Give us your address again, please.
Oh, sorry, Wendy Bourget, 1 Osprey Road.
Okay.
I want to thank the board for considering the fishing hours again. Also, I was wondering whoever it was who named the name of the surveyor that is going to be used, if you could repeat the name of the surveyor, I didn't catch that. Third, was wondering, especially since the parking task force presentation is going to be postponed, if the, I think it's Sharon is the committee chair, if she could please reach out to me. I don't want to necessarily give my phone number on this because I guess everything's recorded and put out publicly, but I know Jim Moffitt and Cheryl should have my phone number, but if Sharon could give me a call, I would appreciate it. So that's three things. And just to weigh in on the discussion you had about the most recent thing about having the highlights of motions, when I went back to find the motion that was made several years ago about fishing and then when it was changed without a motion, it was very, very time consuming to go and read down all those things and try to find it. So I actually think that's a great idea. And along with that, I'd like to recommend that the page that's listed every year on the association website that lists the rules and regulations, because they do change based on throughout the year, that each year at some point that they at least be dated at the bottom, and then they can say updated as of, or maybe that for actually even better, I think, if you can take a record for the archives so that even if it's updated, that rule and regulation page is archived once a year so people can go back to it. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. And I'm going to ask Steve to spell Dave's name. It's Dave Coonrod. But Steve, could you help us with the spelling on that? I may have to unmute him. Hang on. I'm going to leave Q&A for a minute. We'll go back to it. Okay, right now everyone's unmuted, so try not to make too much noise. It's going to be take me too long to figure this out. Steve, could you spell Dave Coonrod's name?
Sure, Steve. It's David Coonrod. It's C00N0D. If he has adequate information, it will go with him. If not, it'll be a gentleman by the name of Fred Gunther. He works with DACO. He's done a lot of work here as well.
I'm sorry, hang on. Nobody can hear you, and I am doing an awful job with this, but how about if you email that to me and I'll forward it to Wendy?
I will do that.
Thanks. I'm going to put us back on Q&A. Okay, if you have any questions or comments, please dial *6. Don't see anyone. Veronica Casey?
Yes, this is actually Margaret Casey. I own property on 30 Nehantic, and my sister Veronica, we're both sitting here. Veronica Casey owns property at 19 Seaview. I just wanted to say that many, many, many years ago, Veronica and I tried to be able to vote. We had trusts, and we were not able to vote. So I'm glad that you found a workaround, because we had actually contacted Susan Bisowitz, and she did a lot of, research into the problem, and she said the state legislature would be unlikely to change it. But we were going in as individuals, not as a community where you're changing the charter. So I'm very happy that you can do that.
Good.
That's it.
Thanks, Margaret.
Okay.
Cindy. Oops, muted you again. Sorry.
Hi, Cindy Troche at 22 Blue Heron. I just wanted to point out about six different points, one being that the executive order from the state governor, I thought the meetings that were supposed to be taking place while we're in this time of COVID and pandemic was for crucial and time-sensitive business of the municipality needing to make decisions based on business to be run properly. Secondly, I'd like to point out that the reference to association being in our name is very confusing when we aren't an association but a municipality. On number three point, I'd like to say that the charter, I understand it as it to say that any person who is over 18 who own or may own property within the territorial limits should be able to vote at any meeting. So I think it means that if there's a household of people who are 18, should have the right to vote on what's of interest in that immediate family. The map that I gave Cheryl, which is quite a clear understanding of what was filed by J.J. Smith, is considered a master plan and also a POCD because it is a cluster of houses with open space. My fourth or fifth item is the zoning that the regulations that they're trying to do is based more on public acts than the special acts that we are as our charter. And I would like those minutes that have been posted by zoning to be also followed by any of the documents that were submitted by the people at that meeting or who wanted to make comments at that meeting, who sent them into the meeting. I think it's very important that the owners understand what we own at Black Point Beach Club Association. And maybe a title attorney is the one who really can have all the documentation in a form of understanding what we own. The surveyor Gunther that had posted something on our website, his reference to what was done at Perry's property was very lacking in the appropriate merstones. And I also want to point out that that map that I gave Cheryl has merstones and that they shouldn't be going by pins, especially the ones that Dave Coomrod has put in, because he has not found the merstones, and that map clearly shows merstones, just like at Seabreeze, over at 2 Seabreeze, after that flower pot, you can dig down probably about 7 inches and find the merstones there, according to that map. And I think it's very important that we get a surveyor who is not someone who can't find the merstones, because those are the real true markers and they are there. And I'd be very disappointed to see Dave Coomrod or Mr. Gunther hired to do this job because they lacked in other situations, especially Dave Coomrod had mapped Perry's property and filed and mislabeled things on a map, and it's caused a lot of issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. All right, I am going to end the Q&A.
I'm going to send you something.
Yeah, would board members please unmute themselves because I need a motion for an adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
This is Sharon. I second it.
Okay. Anybody opposed rather than going through all this? All right. The meeting has been adjourned at 8:28 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for all of your work.